This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Mention Cambodia, and many people think of the murderous Khmer Rouge or the secret bombings during the Vietnam War. It's a tiny country wedged between two powerful neighbors, Thailand and Vietnam. Now Cambodia is facing a different sort of threat to its environment and to its fisheries, among the richest in the world. On the latest National Geographic radio expedition, NPR's Michael Sullivan takes us to a Cambodia few know about and even fewer actually see.
On the Tonle Sap River, near the capital, Phnom Penh, 60 oarsmen pull mightily in near perfect synchronization, slicing their long, narrow craft through the water. Their goal is to be the first across the finish line near the point where the Tonle Sap and the Mekong meet, where Cambodia's king, Sihamoni, and the country's rich and powerful watch the three-day-long spectacle from the royal box. More than 200 boats take part in the races, the highlight of the annual water festival here. Khmer musicians serenade the guests in the royal box as the winners row by to receive the king's blessing. At sunset, the festival moves off the river and continues along its banks. The streets are closed to traffic, and the partying begins in earnest. The festival draws more than 1 million people each year when the rest of the country shuts down and everyone heads for the capital. Rural Cambodians flooding the city, eager for a 3-day respite from the hardship of their daily routine. Journalist Kay Kim Song of the Cambodia Daily says the festival celebrates many things.
Thanks to the water.
And thanks to the moon. The water provides many things.
Water gives us life.
It's not hyperbole. Cambodians depend on fish for 70% of their protein. So intertwined are the Cambodians and their fish that their currency, the riel, is named after the small silver carp that's the staple of many diets here. Over a fish dinner at the Ponluk restaurant, Cambodia's fisheries chief, Sur Lim Song, says it's hard to exaggerate the importance of fish in people's lives.
In Cambodia, we have one proverb, say, there is water, there is fish. But any season, people can catch, even close to their house, plenty of fish.
Take a boat ride up the muddy brown Tonle Sap River, and almost all the houses you pass are on stilts, 10 feet high or more. For the monsoon brings flooding, big floods. At the height of the rainy season, from the air, it seems as if the entire country is underwater. Few here seem to mind. In fact, for most, the seasonal flooding of the Mekong Basin is a blessing, not a curse.
This is the most productive fishery in the world. 2 million tons of fish are harvested from the Mekong every year. So hands down, more than the Amazon, more than the Congo, more than the Yangtze, more than the Mississippi, this is the most important fishery in the world.
That's Zeb Hogan, a biologist with the Mekong Wetlands Biodiversity Program. He's been coming here on and off for about 5 years, documenting the migratory patterns of some of the largest freshwater fish in the world, many of whom live in the Tonle Sap River, a river that actually changes direction for a few months each year.
One of the reasons why the fishery is so productive is because of the seasonality of the river. During the rainy season, the flow of the Mekong increases by tenfold or twentyfold. And so the Mekong rises, and all of the water flows back up into the Tonle Sap River and fills up the Tonle Sap Lake.
The Tonle Sap Lake is Southeast Asia's largest. During the monsoon, when the river runs back into the lake, it will swell to 5 times its normal size and cover nearly a fifth of the country. The Tonle Sap attracts many visitors from very far away, and not all of them are fish. Sunset at the Tonle Sap Biosphere Reserve in the flooded forest at the northeast corner of the lake. The tops of trees poke through the water, their green branches drooping under the weight of hundreds of oriental darters and Indian cormorants jostling for nesting space. A park ranger along for the ride says that dozens of species come here to nest during the winter, many of them endangered. And even more amazing than what we see in front of us, says biologist Zeb Hogan, is what lies beneath.
This is the heart of fish life in Southeast Asia. During the dry season, this is hard ground. This is not flooded year-round. So you have a huge expanse of central Cambodia that floods during the rainy season and opens up all of this flooded habitat that you see right now for fish. And so the fish spread out in this whole area to feed.
Just a huge grazing area for all the fish in Southeast Asia.
Not only a buffet for the fish, but then again, you see these water birds are all feeding off of fish. So it's a buffet for the birds, buffet for the fish.
Without the lake here, what would happen to the fishery?
In terms of fish, this area is absolutely critical for freshwater fish in Southeast Asia. And sometimes other countries might not appreciate how important it is here. Because without the Tonle Sap Lake, without the Tonle Sap River driving this system, the fisheries would not be nearly as productive.
The bounty here may help explain why Khmer kings built the magnificent city of Angkor on the shore of the lake nearly 1,000 years ago. A city of more than 1 million people when London was a town of just 20,000. But the Tonle Sap Basin is under threat, the fishermen complaining of declining yields. We decide to take a boat across the lake and down the river to see for ourselves. A few hours later, in a fast boat, we're still on the lake, so swollen by the monsoon, it's impossible to see land in any direction. The boat slows as we approach a fisherman in a small wooden boat, his son and daughter helping haul in the catch. Zeb Hogan and I jump in and swim over to the boat to see what they've caught. The man says this is the best place to fish in all of Cambodia, and even here, he says, his haul is getting worse every day. Hogan peers into the hold to see for himself.
So there are about 10 small croakers and young giant sheepfish and about 5 small carps and a few mystis catfish. One thing that you notice here is he's using a small meshed gill net. And so what that means is he's really only going to catch the smaller fish. And so he has a lot of large species in his boat, but they're all young fish, fish that are not going to be able to have a chance to grow and spawn.
Hogan thanks the man, and we resume our journey. A few hours later, we're in the Tonle Sap River, lined on either bank, with elaborate bamboo fish traps, some at least a mile long. Commercial rigs designed to catch large numbers of fish, rigs that leave Hogan even more uneasy.
I'm actually alarmed about what I'm seeing here because there are all these different kinds of fishing gear. There are so many chances for these fish to get caught before they actually make it out to the Mekong.
It's the same story when we check the nets farther downriver near the capital. Fisheries Director Sir Lim Song says deforestation, overpopulation, and improved fishing techniques have had an impact on the catch, especially the large fish. Chinese damming of the Mekong upstream may prove to be damaging in the long run, too. But he says the fishery is still relatively healthy and that this year's catch overall should not decrease.
There are some change. Before, we have more big fish. Now, the big fish become less, but the small fish increase. So the total figure remain almost the same.
The problem is not too few fish. The fish numbers are the same. You're saying there's too many people.
Yeah, too many people.
Zeb Hogan worries too many people and too few big fish will spell trouble for his project and his passion, the Mekong giant catfish. It's the largest freshwater fish in the world, and it's already critically endangered. For Radio Expeditions, I'm Michael Sullivan, NPR News.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR and the National Geographic Society. Tomorrow, the quest for the Mekong giant catfish. For photos of the Tonle Sap Lake and the Cambodian Water Festival, go to npr.org.